scars had left pain. How could he recognize me? I wasn't the same. I knew I should pay. Justice and law demanded my life. But his tender heart heard my desperate cry, and he saw my past through merciful eyes. Beautiful, that's how mercy saw me. For I was broken and so lost. Mercy looked past all my faults. The justice of God saw what I had done, but mercy saw me through the sun. Not what I was, what I could be, that's how mercy saw me.
Whatever you've done, you can't go too far. That his eyes of mercy loves you too much to leave you alone. Your flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And his heart cries out for your heart today. See yourself through his eyes. Then you will say, beautiful, that's how mercy saw me. For I was broken and so lost. Mercy looked past all my faults. The justice of God saw what I had done, but mercy saw me through the sun. Not what I was, but what I could be, that's how mercy saw me. Not what I was, but what I could be, that's how mercy saw me.
Thank you for that. Let's stand together. Stand together. When I see them sing like that, I wonder, why can't I sing? Don't we have the same DNA here? I don't know where they got. I'll sing like that when I get to heaven. Too bad you won't be there to hear it, Raul. I should not have said that. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I know over the last few weeks, we've been starting a little bit later to the message. We have some things with the building as our offering Sunday's coming in 2 weeks, so bear with us. This is not all the time, but the building is heavy on our hearts right now. Not heavy on our hearts, it didn't die, but you know what I'm saying. It's on our heart, so bear with us in that. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we'll read verses 1 to 13. We'll pray, and then we'll be seated. I want to share a thought with you this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we'll start in verse number 1. We'll talk about King Josiah a little bit. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. That's when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. He cut them down. And the groves, the carved images, and the molten images, he break in pieces. And made dust of them and strawed them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, and with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And we'll stop there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I pray you'd bless our time together. Lord, speak to our heart through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're in a little mini series, and we're finishing up, actually, and we've entitled it, I Love Church. We're already in our I Love Sunday School campaign, and we're talking about the I Love Church, and I give you some reasons why I personally love church. And I'm going to give you another one in a minute. Of course, as we looked at the text, Josiah is one of my favorite kings in the Bible. My youngest son, his name is Josiah. And I remember my wife and I, we kind of went back and forth with the names. You know, you name one, I'll name the next. You name one, because we're going to have so many. We all got a handful of names. And I think when it was Josiah's turn, she was up. And she's like, I want to name him Josiah. And that's kind of we think of it maybe a little bit of an archaic name. But when she said that, I liked it because I like King Josiah. He is one of the best kings in the Bible. We know of David. We know of Hezekiah. But if you read through what the Bible says about Josiah, he was, if not the best king that ever reigned. He reigned during very difficult time. We see that he started being the king when he was 8 years old. He sought the Lord early in his life. With the verses we read here, he is fighting the false belief system and the idolatry in the land, and it seems like he had a little bit of an attitude about it. He broke down all the images, and he smashed them. He poured the ashes on the graves of the false prophets. He burned some of the bones. He was trying to let God know, we are not going to worship a false god, not while I'm the king. And so he was a great, great, great king. Now, although Josiah, and here's the whole point we're going to get to, although Josiah was a great king from the beginning, although we see he did great things, and you think, what more could he do? There's an event that's going to happen in his life that is going to take him from the great level he's already at and lift him up to an even greater level. Look at 2 Chronicles again. We'll pick it up in verse 14 of chapter 34. We saw at the end of verse 8, he's starting to tell them to get to the house of God, and now let's start working on the house of God that probably had some desecration because of the king who was before him. Verse 14. So these men are in there, they're cleaning the house of God in verse 14 of the same chapter. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. By the way, that's a good place to find it. Amen. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word again, saying that all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. They're cleaning the house of the Lord. They're doing what you have commanded them to do. And they gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it unto the hand of the overseers, to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Obviously, during this time of apostasy that was before Josiah, they had actually lost touch with the word, with God's word, the law book. And so here was Josiah, a great king. He was doing things and he was doing the best he could, and he loved God with all of his heart. He was trying to do the right thing, and yet now, as he was trying to clean the temple, they find the law book and they read it before Josiah. And let me just tell you something. Although he was already a great king, although he was already a godly man, he really takes off. He really does even more than he did before. He needed more than what he had. All he had was a knowledge of God. All he had is the things he had heard from the past and the things that he knew of his own mind were right. He knew that if he loved God, he knew false worship was wrong. And so he dealt with that. And he knew some of the sin that was going on in the country, and he dealt with that. But now they find the law book, and if you read through the story, and we're going to look through a few things here, now he really takes off and he does even more for God. The point was, he was already doing what he knew to do and what he was just knew of his own heart, but when he got the law of God, he really took off. He needed more. And he got that in the Word of God. You know why I love church this morning? Because the church teaches me the things that I need more in my Christian life. It points me to the Word of God, and it teaches me the things that I would not know if I was not being taught, that I would not know if I was not being pushed, as our theme is this year, to explore the book. You're never going to be the Christian God wants you to need to be if you're not faithful in learning in church and you're not in the Word of God. It's not just a bumper sticker. We have too many bumper sticker Christians. You say, how do you know? Because they cut me off on the freeway. Sorry about that. Say, why don't you give out I Love Pacific Baptist Church bumper stickers anymore? I'll tell you why we don't. Because you were putting them on your car. That's why we don't. I don't want. Hey, look at that, cut off. Oh, I love Pacific Baptist Church, but I hate other people on the freeway. That's not why we do it. Too many Christians now are just content with where we're at. We have just enough of God to soothe our conscience. We have just enough of God to say, you know, I've got all these little things all set up in my life, and here's this part, my job, my family, and all. And God, I'll put him on the shelf, and I got him, and we're okay. Do you know God has something more? I need more, and you need more. Josiah, a great king, I think when he found the law book, and they read it to him, and he found out what was written in the law book, that's where I think he became one of the greatest kings. What did it help him? Let me give you some areas that getting more helped him. First of all, it helped him in his understanding of life. Look down again at chapter 34. Leave it open. In your book, we're going to look at a few verses. Verse 19, and it came to pass that when the king heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. That was a sign of sorrow. That was a sign of he understood that there was a lot of bad things still going on, and they were offending God. And so in that, he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahiakim, the son of Japhon, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah. Judah had already been taken away captive. The northern kingdom had already been taken captive. Judah was on their way. And he says, go inquire of God about all of us concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in the book. See, once he read the book, he had a greater understanding of all the things that were going on. He had a greater understanding of all the really, in that time for them, all of the evil that was going on, and how the book said that if the Israel, when they got into their land, if they didn't serve God, if they turned their back on God, how the judgment of God would fall. And here is this great king who was serving God with all of his heart. And now he's like, oh my soul, we are still not serving God the way we're supposed to. And our forefathers and all the nonsense that's going on, please go inquire of the Lord for us. Because of the judgments found in the book. You see, as a Christian, we have to understand what is going on around us. We have to have an understanding of all the influences that come our way. We have to have an understanding of the way life ought to be lived, not from our perspective, but from God's perspective. You see, as a Christian, when we get into the Word of God and we get more, we start to understand what is right. We start to understand what is wrong. And I'm sorry that in our time in which we live, people don't want to hear that there is a right and that there is a wrong. But can I just tell you something today, people? There is a right and there is a wrong. You can't get around it. And as Christians, if we want God's blessing on our life, if we want God's blessing on our marriages, if we want God's blessing on our family, if we want God's blessing on our church, we have to have an understanding of what is right and what is wrong. We only get that when we're in the book. Wrong perspective is everywhere around us. By the way, everybody has a perspective. You have a perspective. I have a perspective. And it's about the small things in life. Hey, who's going to win the game? Hey, what do you think's going to happen here? Who's going to be president? That's a bad one. I don't want to spend time on that, but all that. We all have perspectives. But you know what perspective we're supposed to follow as much as possible? The one that's in that book right there. God's perspective. Oh, you look on social media and you hear it. The thing about our society, so many that know so little can say so much. Everybody's got a tweet. Now, I don't tweet. The birds in my house, they tweet. I don't Facebook. Okay? You say, you're archaic. I have an Instagram account. And if you follow me, I'm sorry. I don't have Bible verses. I usually have my grandkids doing something goofy. Okay, I don't post very much on it. It's mostly keep up with my family and things like that. But everybody gives their opinion. And okay, we can give our opinion. But listen, everybody has a perspective. But you know what I really need to understand if I'm going to get through this life? I need to understand God's perspective. And boy, when we get into the Word of God as Josiah did. You say, why is that so important? Because our thoughts and God's thoughts just really don't match up. I like the verses in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen to that. Neither are your ways my ways. Your ways my ways, his ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Aren't you glad we cannot figure out God? I'm so glad that God is just so far ahead of me. I'm so glad that when I'm trying to figure out what's going on in this life and get the perspective I need so that I don't get down and discouraged about all that's going on and I don't get down and discouraged about the future, I can go to the Word of God and say, I get it. I need more so I can understand the things of this life. Also, it helped him to get more in his sensitivity to God. Look at verse 26 of chapter 34. And as for the king of Judah, he's getting word back from the inquiry he got from God, who sent you to inquire the Lord, so shall you say unto him. Says, go tell Josiah, I said this. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou hearest the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and did rinse thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will send upon this place and upon the inhabitants. So they brought the king word again. You know what they said? They said, basically, God and his whole scheme had been trying to get Israel and Judah in line. And for years and for years and for years, they had just pushed them to the side. And God's telling Josiah, you know what? It's too late. Judgment's coming. He says, but because you were sensitive to me, it's not going to happen during your days. I wish, and I have to confess that sometimes I don't. I'm not as sensitive to God as I should be. I have to confess that sometimes, Brother Bichardo. I try to be. And by the way, Josiah was. Let me ask you this. How do you react to the words of God? So many people come in and we already have this this thought in our mind. We're already set to what we believe. And we hear the words of God. If something we hear that happens to go with what we believe, we're okay. But if we hear something that goes against the way we're going, sometimes people, believe it or not, get upset. I don't like that. Can I just tell you something? There's a lot of times I don't like it either. That's not the question. The question isn't, does my flesh like it? My question is it the right thing for me to do? Yeah. That's sensitivity to the Lord. Sensitivity says, I read the book and like, oh, I don't want to hear that. Come on. I read the book and say, oh, my soul, that's what God says. I better get on board. Earlier this week, I was reading in another portion of Jeremiah. And after they were taken into captivity, they left some of the people of the land to take over. And there was a little bit of infighting there. And some of the leaders there, they said, send to Jeremiah and tell him, hey, tell us what God wants us to do. We want to do whatever God wants us to do. Tell him to get the word for us. And Jeremiah goes and gets the word. He comes back and says, listen, here's what God wants you to do. And God already knows you're not going to do it. And they got mad at Jeremiah because they heard something they didn't want to hear. They already had their plan, and they were hoping God would just put his stamp of approval on it. And God said, no, that's not what I want you to do. You know what they do? They got mad at Jeremiah. Yeah. They got mad. We're doing our own thing. You're lying. Hey, how do we respond to God's word? We ought to have an open heart to it. Yeah. Jeremiah had an open heart. And then next, we see that he had a commitment to follow. Verse number 29, we pick it up. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and of the Levites and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in the book. Now, I want you to get this. Remember when Hezekiah was told that bad things were coming? You know what he said? He said, praise God, as long as there's peace and truth in my days. You know what Josiah said? He didn't say, well, I dodged a bullet. Once I'm gone, bad times are coming, but it's not going to affect me. You know what he did? He gathered everybody together. And he read them the book, and he publicly before them made a commitment to God's word. You know what he was trying to do? I wonder almost, Brother Panay, if he's like, I know God said that, but I wonder if we can change his mind. Because if you see and you read other places, he was getting the word out to everybody. Hey, we need to get right. Judgment is coming. And he totally committed to God. Do you know life calls for commitment? Oh, I love Jesus. I've got the bumper sticker. I've even got the t-shirt. And I'm not against Christian t-shirts. But are we committed? Well, wait a minute, you know. I mean, I wore the shirt. I'm not really committed to anything God's doing, but I got the shirt. God wants commitment. We don't like commitment, by the way. And by the way, commitment's the key to success in anything. So, oh, I want to have a godly marriage. Let me ask you a question. Are you committed to God, and are you committed to that marriage? Yeah. I was talking to my wife. We were driving in this morning. We just mentioned, like, wow, you know, June 1st, 31 years that she's been married. Yeah, she's been married. She's been married a long time. And we've been married to each other 31 years. She's like, why is it people struggle sometimes when they get later on in their marriage? It's like, I guess they're not like us, and we just put up with it. No, kidding. So how do you make it that far? It's hard for some people. For us, it's easy. We're on cloud 9 all the time. Now, that cloud has thunder, lightning, and rain, but we're on it. Just kidding. I'm kidding, people. I'm kidding. You know why? We're committed to each other. We're committed to our marriage, and we're committed to the Lord. Are you perfect? Yes. No. Depends on where you stand, right? Not perfect. Is your marriage perfect? No. Listen, it takes commitment. Oh, we don't like commitment. By the way, if you're going to be a good Christian, it takes commitment to God. Not just, well, you know, I'm going to kind of squeeze God in. No, I'm committed to him. And Josiah publicly got up and said, I'm in. And I want you all to know that I am in. What about your family? Too many people, we're not committed to our family. By the way, you should have thought of that before you had children. Okay? Well, you know, just, it's got, you know, this little, you had children. Let's be committed to our families. Let's be committed to what's best for them. And let's be committed, of course, to the Lord. So we see that it changed Josiah. Let me just give you a couple things and we'll be done. What were some of the actions that will help us to get more? You know what started for Jeremiah? First thing it did, it started when he paid attention to God's house. Where did they find the book? They found it in the temple. After Josiah said, you know what? It's time to get the temple back in order. Now, we just slammed Hezekiah a little bit ago, but I like Hezekiah. Hezekiah's father and them before him were horrific. They weren't bad. They made bad look good. By the way, that's the reason that the good was. Even though Josiah tried to change, he said, no, Manasseh back there, he was so horrible, we're done. And the temple was closed. And if you read through the story, the first year of Hezekiah's reign, in the first month of his reign, on the first day of the first month of his reign, he said, go down and open the temple. We're going to clean that thing out. We're going to get going. He didn't even wait. He said, Josiah said, hey, we're going to get the temple in order. Let's go down there. And that's where they found the book. Can I just tell you something? The book's important. We're going to talk about that in a second. But you don't understand. Church is important also. You cannot do a casual reading of the New Testament and not understand that we need each other. We needed the encouragement. We need to be together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Where else are we going to get encouragement that, you know what, you're on the winning team. You're on the right side. You can go forward. It's not happening where you work, unless you guys work here. It's not happening there. It's not happening on the radio. It's not happening on the television set and all the nonsense there. Listen, it happens in God's house. We need a commitment to God's house. You're just trying to get us to be faithful to church. Let me just say something. Yes, I am. It's good for you. Let me just tell you what helped change my life. And I've said it over and over. You say, I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of telling it, but please listen. It started when I did not know anything about Christianity, and I was saved, and I was 17, out of high school, and I said, I'm going to serve God. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go to every church service. That was all I knew. And I went that Wednesday night. I had been going on Sunday morning. I went that Wednesday night to their service. And I went the next Sunday morning. And I went the next Sunday night. And I just went to every single service. And that's when I started learning things that were helping me. That's when I got some godly friends in the church that started encouraging me. It's the greatest decision I ever made. You say, but it's just me and God. And by the way, in some sense, it does need to be you and God. But you can't make it just with you and God without other godly Christians. That's why Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. And the second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. You cannot separate yourself from other Christians. We need each other. We need each other. I encourage you. You've been coming to our church. Listen, if you've been coming for a while and you're marinating a little bit on whether or not to be a church member, you need to think about that because you do need a church family. I'm not trying to, listen, you say, well, you're just saying it because you want me to be here. Yeah, because I kind of like this church, to be honest with you. But I think it's a good place, and I like you, and I want you to be part of it. But if you were to come to me and say, I don't think this is a place for me, I would say, go find a church that is a place for you. Yeah. Now, choose the right kind of church, of course. But I would tell you that because I don't want you to leave, but I understand how important it is to be part of a good church. Yeah. We need each other. By the way, I love coming to church. I have more friends than I could shake a stick at. I just like being here and being around the folks and being encouraged. We had that prayer meeting on Friday night. It was so good just to be here with God's people, church. And then secondly, what else helped him get more? His attentiveness to God's word. You see, he didn't have the privilege that you and I have today to have a copy of the word. And most of us have multiple copies, right? I have a copy here. By the way, I never read it. You say, what's that all? I read it on my, and maybe I'll probably be sacrificed on an altar for this, but pray for it. I like to read on my iPad. That's me. I like to read on my iPad. By the way, I make it look like a Bible, but it looks like one, but I read it every day. I have it on my phone. I don't like to read that. It's too small. But I get in it every day. By the way, you need to get in it every day. Let me say this. So we're not, I think that you ought, when you come to church, you ought to bring a Bible. You say, why? Not, and I don't mean your iPad or your iPhone. This is just my, this is Steveology 107, so take it for what it is. You know why? If I'm sitting here, sometimes the guys are like, hey, you have your iPad. Why don't you preach out your notes on your iPad? And maybe someday I'll do. I teach in the college out of it. But I know when I'm teaching the college, I get a text. You know? And I'm like, hang tight here. My wife asked me what I want for dinner, and that's important. Okay, back to the Bible. But, you know, in church sometimes you're here and you're going to check your Facebook. You say, I'm not going to do that. Well, if you have your phone and people are texting, you're going to do it, okay? So I that's why I prefer right here, turn our phones off for that hour. I'm sure that the world will survive. But he was attentive to God's word. I encourage you, as we've been encouraging you and we're done, get in God's word each and every day. Amen. I encourage, make that your habit, okay? Personally, I read through my Bible several times. I'm just finishing up. There was like two, because I read through it three different ways. I'm just finishing up time number one. I read through it several times. You start reading it through one time. You say, I need a Bible reading schedule. Talk to your Sunday school teacher or go on our website. You can print one out. But I'm just saying, we need that habit. I need God to speak to me each and every day. Say, why? Because I'm a knucklehead. And man, if I don't let God talk to me, I get weird. And I'm just like, you know, I'll be even worse than I am now, Brother Bichardo. I need God to say, to keep me in line. And by the way, I want God to speak to me, and I want to have a relationship with him. Could you imagine the type of relationship my wife and I had if I said, now listen, we're married, and I know there's a lot of stuff in marriage. There's just one thing I don't do. I don't communicate. So we're never going to talk. Now, I know my wife, she'd probably say, that's kind of cool. You know, that's good. But what if I never talked to her? What if she never talked to me? Hey, hon, how you doing? Okay, I'll go watch the game. It wouldn't be very good. Hey, we need to let God communicate with us each and every day. Get in his word and read it systematically. I think we ought to read the whole thing. There's a lot of good stuff in there. By the way, I don't know how many times I've read my Bible, Brother Pineda. In my lifetime, many, many, many times. And Brother Fisher pulled that verse out in Acts where it just proved that what Moses said was an excuse. He could talk. I'm like, I've read that probably 100 times. I'm like, well, there it is, duh. Sometimes we have to read through it a few times. Read it systematically. Read it devotionally. Read it to get something out of it. God, what do you got for me? Josiah wasn't hearing the words of the God. When he heard it, he said, Lord, you're speaking to me. We're not listening. And then read it obediently. Let's read it, letting God change our lives. You say, you know, I love Jesus. Everybody says that. And I'm not doubting that you do. But I think a lot of people who really do love Jesus have a hard time living for Jesus because they don't have more of what they need. If I told you I love Jesus and I wasn't coming to church, I wasn't reading my Bible, I would struggle to show that in my life as much as I would want to do it. The same as I would struggle if I said I love my wife and I never spent time with her and I never did anything, we never went out or any of those type of things, I never came home. We need more. More than just a desire, we need to connect it to what God says and what God wants to do. Let's all stand together this morning.